Hi, everybody. Cheryl Atkison here. Welcome to another edition of the Cheryl Atkison Podcast. Today, a staggering amount of fraud is attributed to con artists who submitted fraudulent loan applications for COVID relief on behalf of non-existent businesses and employees. In this age of a highly controlled media landscape, it's never been more important to fight the heavy hand of censorship and support truly independent journalism. Go to CherylAtkison.com and click on the Store tab for a great way to do that. There are all kinds of fun and functional products designed specifically for independent and free thinkers like you, featuring slogans like, "I tested positive for critical thinking," and "I need to find some new conspiracy theories, all my old ones came true." Proceeds support independent journalism causes like the ION Awards for off-narrative, accurate reporting. Go to CherylAtkison.com and click the Store tab today. Sunday, April 28th on Full Measure, I will be reporting on a staggering amount of fraud being attributed to con artists. These are scamsters who put in fraudulent loan applications for businesses and employees that didn't exist. I've covered a lot of emergency and even non-emergency government programs where money just goes out the door, our taxpayer billions. We could be talking about TARP, the Troubled Assets Relief Program under Bush, that started as a consumer relief plan, but after the bank lobbyists got a hold of it, it became a bank bailout program. I've covered stimulus funds, natural disaster funds, Afghanistan. It's the same broken record over and over. The money, our money, goes out the door without proper controls in place. Later, untold billions in fraud is discovered too late. One thing I've learned is it is possible to install protocols up front that would be used when any such programs are started and money is going out the door to put better controls on the front end. But for whatever reason, day in and day out, year after year, nobody does that. It seems it's in everybody's political interest to get the money out the door. Congress gets donations from those who benefit from the programs and the money. And it gets lost that it's in our interest to track the money and be more careful. And we, the people, don't have any lobbyists working on behalf of our interests on Capitol Hill. Today, let's first address and quantify the amount of money we're talking about with COVID funds. The numbers are really mind-boggling. I made the best list I could. On March 6, 2020, there was $8.3 billion tax dollars put out for vaccines and testing, followed by on March 18, 2020, a couple of weeks later, $225 billion for testing, sick leave, and food aid, according to descriptions given. $225 billion for testing for COVID, and I never quite understood that because it seems if you were going to devote money to testing at the time, it would have made more sense to test people to see if they had asymptomatic COVID infections that had given them immunity, because those people, at least temporarily, could keep the government open and keep our economy open. Instead, you're testing people over and over with a test that, to the extent it works at all, is only good for that precise moment in time. You may finish with the test and 10 minutes later have COVID or start getting COVID. So I really didn't understand the emphasis on testing that the media was putting on and many of our political figures. But I digress. March 27th, 2020, again a couple of weeks later, $2.2 trillion now. So we went from $8.3 billion to $225 billion to now $2.2 trillion more, including stimulus payments, expanded unemployment benefits, and the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, which you'll be hearing more about in a few minutes. Then the following month, April 24th, 2020, $483 billion more for the Paycheck Protection Program and more COVID testing. Then a couple months later, December 28th, 2020, $920 billion additional, including more stimulus payments, billions more for the Paycheck Protection Program, for vaccines, for schools, and for unemployment. And then on March 11th, 2021, $1.9 trillion, including more stimulus payments, more money for schools, and vaccines. And regarding that school money, I heard that some schools are still spending it or trying to figure out how to spend it or have spent it on non-COVID related stuff. So again, all that money went out the door without a lot of planning. Now, just those amounts I read to you add up to about $6 trillion. And that happens to be far bigger than the entire economies, the total of all goods and services produced, GDP, of nearly every nation on the planet. That amount of money out the door, as I like to say, tax dollars without very much oversight. So it was left to the Small Business Administration, the SBA, to pay out a lot of the COVID relief funds that were intended to help small businesses. And that happened through the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, as I mentioned, and the Economic Injury Disaster Lending Program, or EIDL. The way that worked, as I understand, was most of that money was distributed through banks. So people who wanted the money would go to the banks and apply for it, and the banks would process it. Well, now, according to the Small Business Administration Inspector General, Mike Ware, he conservatively estimates that there's a lot of what they call potential fraud in these programs to the tune of $200 billion. In fact, his office has issued a report that said at least 17% of these funds, all told, were dispersed to potentially fraudulent actors. And that includes more than $136 billion in fraud in the EIDL, Economic Injury Disaster Lending Program, and another $64 billion in fraud in the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program. Even by government standards, where we know a lot of money is lost to fraud, waste, and abuse, 17% is really unacceptably high. So the SBA Inspector General has been tracking down a lot of cases, and many of them top over $1 million. It starts to look like it was pretty easy for con artists and scamsters to apply for these fraudulent loans with non-existent businesses' employees and get the money. Didn't seem all that hard. Looking at a few of the cases, there was the one with former NFL player Joshua Bellamy. He got 3 years in prison for a $1.2 million scam that he took part in, and he admitted spending some of the money on jewelry and outings at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Then there was a man named Lee Price III, who got 9 years in prison for stealing $1.6 million in relief funds. What did he buy? He got a Lamborghini, a Ford F-350, and a Rolex watch, among other things. And Bellamy, the former NFL player, isn't the only semi-famous or famous person that took part in this fraud. Reality star Maurice Fain of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta took part in a fraudulent $3.7 million COVID relief scam. Prosecutors say he used the money on his extravagant lifestyle and to buy custom-made jewelry and to lease a Rolls Royce. He was sentenced to 17 and a half years in prison. Then a man named Mustafa Kadiri, he got 4.5 years in prison for cheating taxpayers out of $5 million. He bought personal items, including Ferrari, Bentley, and Lamborghini cars. Cars are an attractive purchase to these fraudsters. In another case, there were 30 people who took part in a scheme that was led by a woman named Sherry Joseph. She committed the crime, by the way, while she was on pretrial release for separate fraud charges, and that COVID relief fraud went to about $9.2 million, according to prosecutors. Then there's a guy named Baby Blue of the hip-hop group Pretty Ricky. He was convicted in a $24 million COVID relief fraud. He was released, by the way, early after serving only 1 year of a 20-year sentence. A man named Amir Akil, he led a fraud ring involving at least 14 others, fraudulent loans, applications for businesses that didn't exist, and employees. That numbered into about $35 million. He got 15 years in prison. And I'm looking at some of the people on the list. They were taken into custody in part with help from Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So I'm checking to see if Some of them happen to be illegal immigrants. Haven't heard back yet. And then an interesting twist, there are apparently violent gangs that figured out COVID relief funds were easier money than the typical street hustle. So in Puerto Rico, there are something like 111 gang members that have been arrested so far for taking part in COVID relief scams. And then in Charleston, South Carolina, dozens of men were arrested in an operation called Operation Trendsetter, where investigators caught members of the gang Sex Money Murder taking part in a racket that involved submitting fraudulent COVID relief applications. They arrested at least 36 gang members at last check in that scam. So, in all, the Small Business Administration puts the potential fraud, as I mentioned, at about $200 billion involving, get this, 4.5 million fraudulent loans and grants. There have been about 1,000 arrests so far, and I guess on the plus side, they have gotten some of that money back. Of the $200 billion, they've gotten about $41 billion in fines, forfeitures, and other returned money, which goes back to the Treasury. Well, Mike Ware, the Inspector General at the Small Business Administration, noticed the same thing that I've been looking at for years. He said the number one thing that he learned through all of his investigations on this topic is that the government needs a blueprint for standing up any emergency program where our money's going out the door. The blueprint, he says, would require internal controls that are set forth very specifically. Ware told me he serves on something called the Pandemic Response Accountability Committee that hopes to create this blueprint that federal agencies will use in the future with these upfront processes before the funds are distributed in the first place. Makes sense. Let me emphasize that what I've described here is the smallest slice of the fraud in the COVID relief funds, and that is the smallest slice of the fraud that goes on a daily basis with our taxpayer dollars and our federal agencies and the programs that they fund. If you're interested in hearing more on this story, please catch my program Sunday, April 28th. And you can also listen to my other podcast right now, Full Measure After Hours, with an uncut interview with Inspector General Mike Ware. He's done quite the job. He will talk about the database that they developed and made use of, where they can use zip codes and data analytics to catch some of the fraud, looking for patterns of loan applications that seem suspicious. That's how they've been able to flag and catch a lot of the cases that they've gone after. To watch Full Measure, you can go to CherylAtkisson.com and click the Full Measure tab. There's a list of stations and times right there. But also, you can just watch if it's easier online anytime at fullmeasure.news. We feed the program live at about 9:31 Eastern on Sundays, 9:31 a.m. Eastern on Sundays at fullmeasure.news. But then we post the program around noon on Sundays, and there it lives. So if you happen to be listening to this after April 28th, you can go back to fullmeasure.news and watch a replay. Today, our information landscape is marred by propaganda and corruption, much of it influenced by the pharmaceutical government media complex. And there's evidence it's impacting our health in a major way. Since you're listening to this podcast, I know you're an independent thinker, and you're going to love hearing what I've learned about how it works, who's behind it, and what you can do in my new book, Follow the Science: How Big Pharma Misleads, Obscures, and Prevails. You can order from the bookstore of your choice or at HarperCollins or Amazon. Look for Follow the Science by Cheryl Atkisson. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and if you did, you'll leave a great review and share it with your friends. And check out my other podcast, Full Measure After Hours, for more original reporting and interviews on off-narrative topics that powerful interests often try to censor. It's never been more important to support independent reporting. You can do that by going to the CherylAtkisson.com website, click the store tab, and browse our great products. The most popular new slogan that I have on products there is, "I need to find some new conspiracy theories. All the old ones came true." Proceeds support causes like the Cheryl Atkisson Ion Awards, giving cash awards recognizing and encouraging independent off-narrative reporting by college students and professionals. Do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself.
Introducing Whipped Seafoam Body Butter by Sirenae Cosmetics. Hi, I'm Star, owner of the Lemonade Mermaid. Enriched with the nourishing powers of cocoa butter, mango butter, and shea butter, our body butter whisks you away to a world of deep hydration. Experience the essence of the sea with every application, as this whipped delight leaves your skin refreshed, replenished, and ready to conquer the day. Visit thelemonademermaid.com and make your skin sing with the magic of the sea.